at some point.
Were there issues with the track bar mounts on the Hendrick Chevy server on Sunday during the class? Was there something going on with the track bar mounts?
I don't know. I think mine was dragging. I know that much. I know a lot of them were dragging. There were sparks really off all the cars. But I haven't heard of anything.
Bar night, for you, more about winning, learning about the cars, getting 7 or 8 points. How does that race line up for you now?
We worked hard to try to get the front row. So my initial concern is how well is this thing going to drive in the draft? And we learned so much in the clash about performance and handling and how far you want to trim a car out. And to go for the front row, you're set on kill trimmed out. So we have some good ideas, but until I get out there and get 5-6 laps in the draft at this higher pace that the new package is producing, I just don't know how good my car is going to drive. So we'll deal with that and get to that first pit stop, make some changes, and then go from there.
Well, we're still looking at the fear of pulling out of a long line and losing 15 positions. Is that still going to be the effect on Sunday, or is it going to be different with these new cars?
Yeah, it's still plate racing. I mean, I think until the plate's gone, we're going to have that. The bigger the plate, the quicker the car will respond to those situations. And we now have a little smaller plate, a little less gear. So directionally, it's not going to change much. You know, you just need that recovery in the car. And when you're already wide open and get pitched out and you have less air flowing through the engine, less gear, it's just hard to close up. So that's still going to be, like we've seen in the past, just at a second faster. You know, I think we're about a second faster now than we were with the previous package.
Some of the NASCAR's done a lot to try to promote this young wave of drivers that are coming along, and maybe a lot has to do with the fact that Junior and Danica are moving along. Could you talk a little bit about how difficult it is? It's one thing to be promoted and all this other stuff, but it's another thing to take it to another level where you're contending consistently. How difficult is that going to be for that younger crowd?
We all face different things through our careers. I think when you get to the cup level, you know, you go from some exposure, some criticism, some pressure to a whole different level of it. And every driver that comes in now, especially on a major team, has lots and lots and lots of pressure on them. When I was coming along, I'd only won one Busch race, and everybody was asking, you know, what does Rick Hendrick and Jeff Gordon see in you? And I'm like, back of my head, I'm thinking, I don't know either. I'm just glad I got a shot at it. So, we all have different pressure that's put on us. And, you know, this new generation, there is different pressure. We live in this digital age. There are a lot of big names that have stepped down and some shoes to fill and fan base to feed into. So, wasn't the exact scenario that I came into. So it is a bit different for these guys. But, you know, when you look at Ryan Blaney, Chase Elliott, you go down further in this, you know, to a different series, and you look at Christopher Bell and Ryan Reed and a lot of these guys coming along, there's a lot of great talent there, a great story behind all of them. And we have the legacy piece with Blaney and Elliott. You know, there's a lot of good there, and these guys are ready for the challenge.
Which one of these guys, if you had to pick one that you think can rise up quicker than any of the other ones, is there any one that you would favor more than any other?
I'm going to be very biased and say Chase Elliott and admit it too. He's awesome. And on all levels, he's going to be a superstar.
Who do you think is going to be the next most popular driver?
Chase Elliott. I think he's already won the 2018 most popular driver award. Has dad won it for how many years?
From a driving standpoint, a field standpoint, what's the biggest difference?
Just the pace. Basic handling characteristics. If you looked at my notes from 17 to 18 and the way I fill it out and tight loose, they're in the same spot. We're just going a second faster. So the intensity is higher because you're just on edge going faster, but the general handling characteristics are still the same.
So the Camaro didn't change with the design of the Camaro. It didn't change the feel that you had, that Junior had, that Chase had when you guys all spun off of the corner, what was it, last year? I mean, you guys were very unstable coming, out of four, I think it was? You guys all spun off of four?
Yeah, I think that danger is still there, and we might see a lot more of it, through the course of Thursday and Sunday. And, you know, in those situations, we felt like we were being very aggressive with trimming the car out. and there's kind of downforce related. And with the rules being as open as they are now, there's a lot that we can do to put downforce in the car, the attitude of the car, and springs and shocks, or take it away. And I'd have to assume the top 10, top 15 cars that are sitting in impound right now are trimmed out pretty dang good. And Thursday is going to be exciting for a lot of us, and I know I'm ready for that excitement. Yeah. You know, through my experience in coming in the Busch Series and then into Cup, you know, everybody was afraid to work with a rookie and thought rookies would make crazy mistakes. And then I was looking around and all the bigger wrecks were started by veterans. So I don't know if I am overly concerned or worried. You know, sure, somebody can get it wrong, but I think if you go back and looked at the crashes, it's probably veterans that cause it more. Just getting comfortable with the environment and situation and have felt a hard push or impact before and think that they can do that or split the gap, whatever it might be, and that's where the problems start.
Jimmy, how many races are we gonna is it gonna take for everybody to see the strength of the new Camaro?
I feel like here there's just it's hard to identify the what's new with the Camaro, the Camaro shines, just because the rule, the ride height rule and all that goes with that. I think Atlanta will be the start of that. And it's Atlanta's pretty unique to itself because of the high tire wear. So kind of Atlanta into Phoenix, I think we'll have a better idea.
You think by Auto Club you guys will know whether you guys made significant
gains? I think so. Yeah, I really feel like it. Vegas will be I think Vegas is probably the best. Tire wear isn't really bad. Speeds are really high. I think Vegas is probably the best test for it.
Jimmy, given the struggles you had last year, did you approach this offseason any different? Was it harder for you? Was it longer for you? Or how was this offseason for you?
Yeah, when I look at the 17 offseason, it was savoring the moment. I guess, how do you look at that? 16 offseason, savoring the moment, being the champion, enjoying all of that. And when you don't win, you know, you just can't wait to get back to work and try to improve and figure out what went wrong. And the 17th season was so hard on us the second half of the year that, I mean, I literally came back from the banquet and it was time to dig in and work on any and all areas. So much more work done this off season just due to the circumstances and where we finished. And, you know, then obviously a lot of change from rules to the new Camaro and the internal restructuring that's going on at Hendrick. Then you add that with the driver lineup. This is the most change I've ever seen at Hendrick Motorsports in my 16 seasons competing there. So it's a big year for the company.
I think Rick said he got a phone call from you in Vegas during the banquet or something. I guess was that as much motivation or?
Yeah, I left there pissed off. That sucked. you know, to see it, I knew we were, after we got eliminated from the round of eight, I knew our championship hopes were closed, but to relive the highlight reels and all of that, it's like, damn, I want to be that guy. You know, I want to get back and be that guy. So that was a huge shot in the arm of adrenaline to get to work. And I literally started wearing Rick out the next morning on the phone. And, you know, what do we need to do? Where do we need to start?
He talks about breaking down. He's talking about kind of breaking down the wall. So in the struggles last year, why couldn't you guys work together? Why couldn't you guys help each other as much? What is happening now with breaking down the walls that couldn't have happened last year?
You know, I thought last year we had great collaboration, and that's honestly what that plus the work that we went in, the changes we were making during the course of the summer and fall on the 48, trying to find speed. That's where the frustration really came from. We just couldn't figure it out, and I don't have an answer. I still don't have an answer. Luckily, there's so much change going on this year that we feel we've got a new mousetrap and a whole new set of rules to deal with, and we'll just forget about last year and move on. But the way we're restructuring things, you know, it's different when crew chiefs two are in one building, two are in a different building. We don't know to what level yet, but all four crew chiefs being in the same building, it's going to be different than what we had before. So I think it's just going next level with a lot of this stuff, and I don't think walls have ever been intentionally set up, especially in the last probably 5-6 years and the way Rick has wanted everybody to work closer and closer together. But now we're physically taking it to a new level, and people are going to, their offices are literally going to be next to one another.
Jim, I sound like somebody who's kind of excited about change. Have you generally been someone who looks forward to it or dreads it?
It parallels your success from the year before. So, but I feel like we've always responded well to change. And you know, different generations of cars, tires that are introduced. So I do like change. It's fun to chase that rabbit.
As Kevin Harbert pointed out, there seems to be more change than people seem to think. The changes in the rules, the pit stops, you're getting a new car. You feel like there's more than people think is just right before their eye?
Yeah, from where I'm sitting, I've never seen so much change, and it's mainly focused on HMS, but you know, pit stops and rules, it's a big year. There's a lot of change that's going on, especially for what we deal with on the competition side. Maybe the fans won't have a great sense of that, but you know, our environment's changed dramatically.
Speaking of change, was it different to be at a track without Dale Jr.? I mean, was there more area to work, walk around at Hendrick, around your haulers and stuff? I mean, did you notice a difference?
I had just as many. I probably had more text messages from him than I did when he was here, so I haven't felt his departure yet. Maybe less of a crowd by the 88 car, but I talked to him more last weekend than I did when he was here on a traditional weekend.
Was he asking about the car, or was he asking
car, how it felt. He had a lot of opinions of how they looked and how out of control they looked on TV. And so he definitely wanted to know what was going on.
Why Willie Nelson?
No, he's having fun. I don't know. My friendship with him has grown so much in the last, you know, 5-10 years. But you know, staying in contact with him is something that I feared. And even, you know, looping this into Matt Kenseth and the friendship that he and I have. And I don't want those friendships to go away. So I'm happy to have Dale wear me out and Matt ask questions and still stay in contact with those guys. That was just a couple bottles of wine, and we tried Dale, and he didn't answer, and he kept putting us to, you could see it ring 5 times and go to voicemail. We tried again, it rang twice. We tried again, and he sent it to voicemail straight away, and we're like, he's awake. So, and then I don't know, from there, Lance said, well, hell, let's try Willie. He's in Hawaii. He's still going to be awake. So we tried Willie, and we got him.
Have you hung out with him before?
With Willie, no. That was... That was all Lance, and Willie's hearing is maybe a little less than he would desire. So we talked. I'm not sure he really heard what was said, and then he tried to talk back, but it was entertaining.
You mentioned being frustrated with Vegas, the ceremony last year, but you've been that guy where everybody's been chasing before. You've had those seasons like Martin had. Can you talk about just what a season like that is like, where you're winning all the time, and if you had to guess or get a prediction on maybe who's the next guy to have a season like that, could you prediction?
I mean, I've always said you can't bet against a champ, especially in a dominant year like that. And you look at the last 2 years and how strong that car has been. So I'd put the favorite as the 78, and it's our job to go chase him down. And at the same time, you know, I hate getting beat by the same car all the time, but I know we've had our runs in doing that to folks, and I remind myself of that often. And I know how hard it is to get there. And then what's wild, when you're there, not that it's ever easy, but things just kind of flow in a way that's comfortable and natural, and you can control the animal, the beast that it is to win. And, you know, so I've been there, and I can respect and appreciate, you know, that sweet spot that those guys have been in.
What season for you, if you had to pick, would you mirror that season for Truex?
I can't even remember. And that's not the reason why. It's just I'm dumb. No, nothing comes to mind quickly. Sorry.
What's Danica Patrick's legacy going to be in motorsports as she transitions to another career?
For me, there are many pieces that that are in that, but and what's top of mind for me is being a father of 2 daughters and watching my children gravitate towards women in sports and women, you know, in powerful positions. Anywhere, the disappointment they had that Hillary didn't win the election. I guess probably 6-year-old at the time comes home, and you know, her questions, well, why can't a woman be president? And I'm like, well, maybe one day soon. You know, I hope so soon. So even two mornings ago, she saw, we were watching the Olympics and Chloe Kim winning, you know, the half pipe gold medal. Her excitement in leaving the house for school that day was so amazing. So, you know, all that being said, Danica has been someone for my daughters to look up to. And so that's top of mind for me, the impact that she's had in sports and for women in sports.
Yep.
She's been big for our company, and a ton of respect for her, and I know crew chiefs and department heads all do as well. She is much more of a listener and then goes out and executes and gets stuff done. So I find that I say way more than she does, and I talk a lot more than she does, but she's absorbing and building us a better product all the time.
And how much interaction do you have with her? How does that whole engineering?
I see her at least every Tuesday, at a minimum every Tuesday in our debriefs.
Jimmy, you mentioned their friendship with Matt and with Dale and staying in such close contact with them. Do they ever try and convince you to come out and watch on Sundays with them instead of being out there? And when will you know when it's time to join them?
No, I think Matt would rather come join us here than the situation he's in. And no one's tried to entice or pull away. And for me, you know, I feel like sure I could stop. You know, I've accomplished so much, but what else am I going to do? I'm going to find something else to race. I mean, I am a racer at heart, and I want to compete. And I feel like I can accomplish more in the sport and win more races and compete for more championships and win more championships. So I don't feel that it's time yet. And at some point, that fire will go out, and I need to be aware of that. But right now, it's as intense as ever. You know, I have to say that decisions that are the right way to put it, and not a million words. I guess to summarize, and maybe you can form your opinion on it. The majority of the plate races I won, I didn't try to win them. I tried to run second, and then the situation developed for me. You make a move, and it takes two or three cars behind you to agree with that move to follow you. And oftentimes, what's good for you to try to win doesn't benefit them, so they're not going to help you. So there's a decision-making process, and when you pull out, why you pull out, and an environment that what's going on in your environment that helps the car behind you and the two behind it follow you and make that successful. So that is the trickiest thing, and I guess some guys can read it better than others. And when I'm on the aggressive, side of it and think I'm going to try to win, I'm worried about myself, I usually end up wrecked. The times that I've, in a sense, think of the group and the collective group behind me, it serves me better and I have better results.
Can I follow up on that? What's your game plan tomorrow night?
Feel it out, because we're pretty trimmed out. And then that first pit stop, makes some changes. And from there, hopefully I can go, hopefully I can race from the start.
Right.
But from there, I lost one car. I have that 500 car, and I have one backup car after that, and I'm out of cars. So converting to the LS1s, we only have three plate cars with 48s on them, so we can't burn through our inventory.
Points that are up for grabs, are you going to be looking at that?
Love to. Plate racing, I think you worry less about that just because of the environment. It's not top of mind right now. It's more about having a race car for the 500. So we'll be smart for sure.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Yep.
Appreciate it.